This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Today we will present part two of our special program coverage with speeches and interviews from the massive demonstration on Saturday, October 2nd at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. The One Nation Working Together March on Washington, sponsored by the AFL-CIO, the NAACP, La Raza, and hundreds of progressive organizations to demand the jobs to put people to work and back to work. Jobs, economic security, comprehensive immigration reform, safe and renewable energy policy, and a reversal of national priorities from making wars to meeting human needs. That's the message. Featured on today's program are the Reverend Jesse Jackson, president of the Rainbow Push Coalition, with immigrants' rights activist Eve Gomes, members of the NAACP, youth activist Eli Flores, and Mary Kay Henry, president of the Service Employees International Union.
Brothers and sisters, please put your hands together for Eve Gomes and the Reverend Jesse Jackson, Sr.
I am proud to be standing in this historic spot with the legend of the Civil Rights Movement, the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
And I'm excited to be here with Yves. Only a few short months ago, the U.S. government was trying to deport Yves to a country he's never known. He's an example of a million students who dream of being able to be part of the American dream. But our broken immigration system stands in their way.
My name is Yves Gomes, and I am 18 years old. My entire conscious life has been a realization that justice means we must restore opportunity for all. I came to this country when I was a baby with my mother from India when I was only 1.5 years old. My earliest memories are of America. I grew up here, immersed in the American culture. My parents raised me to be appreciative and grateful of all the opportunities found in the United States. I have a brother whom I love, who was born here as an American citizen. However, my parents were deported last year. I can remember so vividly how my father was snatched away right in front of our eyes in August of 2008. That was the last time I saw him. I remember how my brother and I were forced to say goodbye to my mother at JFK Airport in July of 2009, and how that was also the last time I saw her. That moment was devastating to me, but ultimately, I fulfilled part of my dream and their dream. When I finished high school, got accepted into college, and received scholarships. But because I am labeled illegal, not only was my college education threatened, I was also ordered to be deported on the 13th of August to a country which I have no memory of. But thanks to the grace of God, the work of my lawyer, the help of the media, my family, my friends, and so many of the community organizers, I was able to get a deferral of removal, and I'm here today speaking in front of you. And that day came just 3 days before I was to be exiled. But while I am ecstatic because I can remain in this country, the broken immigration system has torn my family apart. And I know there are hundreds of thousands of other students out there who are in similar and worse situations than mine. For each of us, the American dream is being denied. So for me, One Nation working together means more than policy changes like the DREAM Act and immigration reform. It means first, we must come together to promote tolerance and understanding, not hate and fear.
I want to first express my thanks to the organizers of this great historic event today. The leader of the Little Rock Nine, the first to graduate from Little Rock Central High, earned a degree and earned a police stand. We come together today to not compromise the high standard of the American dream. Give me your tired, your whole masses, your poor who yearn to breathe free. Many races, many faces from many places. One nation working together. Many languages, one message. Do justice, love mercy, and walk on them before our God. One nation of many names, liberty and justice for all. We must hold high the standard of one nation. Milton, 47 years ago, I stood here with you and many SCLC family members fresh out of jail in Greensboro, North Carolina, fighting for freedom. Today, we are free but unequal, too often unemployed. The wealth-poverty gap is getting wider. Midday in our politics, midnight in our economy. Expanding expensive wars are weighing on our budget and our souls. Rising privileges for the few, sinking holes of poverty from Appalachia to rural Alabama, to urban Detroit and Chicago. The polarization driven by government, subsidized wealth, and induced poverty. We must go another way. And so we march. In 1963, we left here with faith and hope. Today we can leave with the vote and the will to fight back. But don't surrender because it's tough. Our character is being tested. We've globalized capital without globalizing workers' rights and human rights and women's rights and children's rights and environmental security. Detroit, our industrial capital, once the big three were GM, Ford, and Chrysler making cars. Now the big three are three casinos. We've gone from making cars to shuffling cards and rolling dice for luck. Detroit is the crown jewel of industrialization, but yet they've cut public transportation in every American city. Rising foreclosure, another million this year. 90,000 vacant lots and homes in Detroit alone. Not a single chain food store. Thus food desert and food desertion. Not one retail store, a shopping desert. Children without adequate nutrition, dental care, or reading glasses. Utilities, people choosing gas, water, and lights. Their spirits are broken. We must go another way. A month ago, 600,000 registered voters, only 60,000 voted. We must revive their hopes. Dr. King spoke of checks bouncing, marked insufficient funds. Today we have insufficient priorities. We must rise and focus on jobs now. With the job comes esteem, dignity, and security. A fair and balanced trade, jobs now. Reinvest in America, jobs now. Southside Chicago or Detroit, too many vacant homes. We can now turn that minus into a plus. When I look at 90,000 vacant homes in Detroit or Chicago, what about apprenticeship training? Our youth might learn to become landscapers, tear down boards and build windows, jobs. They need plumbers for 90,000 homes, jobs. They need painters, jobs. They need roofers, jobs. They need electricians, jobs. Stop killing an Afghan and rebuild America. It's called jobs now. The president cannot bear this cross alone. We rallied today. We organized Monday. We vote in big numbers November the 2nd. We on this battlefield today fight to be on the right side of history, no matter how difficult. When Michelle Obama, the First Lady, speaks about obesity and the issue of esteem and health, she's on the right side of history. She speaks of veterans deserving a job when they return from the war. The million who went to Afghanistan or Iraq, 500,000 applied for disabilities. When she speaks of veterans being guaranteed a job and health care and moratorium on foreclosure, she's on the right side of history. The president signs a hate crimes bill. He's on the right side of history. He seeks to lift up our children. It's the right side. Today we must leave here with our mind made up to vote. For this vote, this precious vote, Meg Evers was killed about this vote. Swearingen and Gunnar Chamberlain were killed about this vote. Mandela spent 27 years in jail about this vote. We can use our strength to defend our gains about this vote. Secure our future with this vote. End unnecessary wars with this vote. March to forgive student loan debt about this vote. Use this vote for our future. The vote has power. Hold high our standard. Let nobody break your spirit. Today we march, tomorrow we vote. It gets dark sometime. Don't let cynics tell you should not vote. Your vote has power. Your vote will elect Congress people and chair and sub-chairs. Your vote will elect city council and state legislators. There's power in this vote. We marched too long for the vote, bled too much, and died too young. Don't give up now. Stand up and fight back. I know it's dark sometime, but the morning comes. We marched through too many dusty roads, behind too many funerals. Don't you give up now. Don't you let them break your spirit. Weeping may endure for a night, but hold on and hold out, because joy comes in the morning. Cut the military budget. Don't cut defense. Reinvest in America. Jobs now. Jobs now. One nation now. One nation. Liberty, justice, indivisible now. Jobs now. Jobs now. Jobs now. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Keep hope. Love you.
I am actually standing next to a huge NAACP sign, and the two sisters, one of whom we just applauded, that are clearly with the NAACP, and they are one of the prime movers, one of the first organizations to call for this mass demonstration today. So I'd like to know what they think the importance of this demonstration is, and where they're from, and what brought them to Washington.
I'm Kim Quick from Perth Amboy, New Jersey. And what brought me here today is just the whole idea of us needing to fight for our civil rights, our human rights, and for a better quality of life. There's such issues with education, there's issues with the quality of employment. I haven't never heard of so many people just unemployed. And I'm saying, you know, we need to get out here. We need to fight. We need to get our voices heard. So I'm here. I'm mobilizing. I've never gone to a march before. I'm excited. I'm driven. I am here to represent NAACP. Woo! Yes.
Hi, my name is Wendy George, and I'm here for the first time. I am invigorated by what I see, and what is it that brought me here is just reminders of what those in the past did for us. And I keep saying, we have not reached our goal as yet, and we cannot stop. We have to come out here. We have to remind government that we are alive, and we are very much in tune in what's going on, and we want to change.
On the date of Martin Luther King's massive march on Washington, I believe Glenn Beck co-opted it by having a demonstration here. And I'm really curious what you think about the messages that are here today and the rally that was held by Glenn Beck on Martin Luther King's anniversary of the March on Washington.
You know what? For me, I just think opposition just makes us that much stronger. And that's okay. I think I'm more invigorated and excited because of that. Look at our numbers. This is massive. Glenn Beck, go ahead and do what he needs to do. But you know what? It takes nothing away from us. Look around. You see teachers. You see union workers. You see all types of people here, all colors, races, creed. Look at them. Young, old, middle-aged, senior, babies. Glenn Beck, you can have it. But we have this.
What I see today is just an extension of the marches that went before. Many of the issues are the same. Have we made some progress? Yes, we have, but we're not there as yet, and that's why we need to continue these kinds of demonstrations.
And I know sometimes people ask, well, you know, what is the NAACP doing? Why do you still exist? You don't need it. No, that is so not true. We do need it. And if you look around, this is why we need it.
For each of you, what is the most important issue that you see that needs to be worked on to produce change in this country?
To me, it's a toss-up between education and employment. You can't have a good education sometimes if your parents are not employed, they're stressed out, they don't know how they're going to pay the bills. And, of course, you need employment to have a decent quality of life. You take away somebody's employment, it's almost like you take away everything. And education. Why are some children possibly being chosen for the voucher system to be put into certain schools that are deemed to be better? No, there should be a certain standard of education, a quality education for all students. That's their right, a quality education, no matter where they live.
I think all the different issues here can be summed up in there needs to be an equal opportunity, and that does not exist. It affects every facet of our lives, whether it's education, whether it's jobs, whether it's health insurance. There is a disparity of the distribution of wealth, and we need to make equal opportunity, not just a catchphrase, but a reality in this country. And it's, as of now, it's not. And that's why we're here rallying, to bring some reality to those words.
Yes. Woo!
Thank you both very, very much.
Yes, you love Lacey. Woo! This is from the radio station in New York. They want to know why we're here.
We're here with Mary Kay Henry, president of SEIU, that's Service Employees International Union. Mary?
Welcome to Washington, D.C.
And it's always good to be welcome. There's enough SEIU purple and white and yellow shirts. It is an absolute spectacular array of SEIU, among other labor unions that are present here today.
IBEW, UAW, the AFL-CIO. We're really proud to stand with all of our union brothers and sisters here.
And what does it mean to see this enormous outpouring of organized labor? What's the message behind that?
That we want 25 million jobs created in this country. We need to get back to work. We don't want to give up on the dream of owning a home or putting our kids to college or expecting that we can retire with dignity. We think everybody should be able to expect that for ourselves. We think corporate America is sitting on a greater profit and higher CEO bonuses than in any time in our economic history, and that we need to get corporate America to share responsibility for getting us back to work.
One of the ways to improve conditions of workers is, of course, through legislation. But another way is organizing workers into unions. And one way to help that would be the Employee Free Choice Act. What kind of priority would you like for Congress and the President to place on that piece of legislation?
We think it's a top priority to make sure that workers can form unions, and we think we share responsibility as a labor movement for getting back into the streets and reaching out to private sector workers, and even without a change in the law, we want to bring as many private sector workers into our union, into the entire labor movement as possible, because it is the only way workers can lift their wages is through unions.
Mary, there are certainly sectors of the working class and the middle class that have delivered an extremely contemptuous message and ire and anger against working people, against organized working people as well. How do you understand that, and how do we begin to re-enculturate people with a message as to who really built this country and the value of work and the respect that must be had for workers and who, if you will, the real enemies are?
The way I understand the ire is that people are scared, that this is a time of incredible economic uncertainty, and that's why days like today are so important for us to join hands between the labor movement, the environmental movement, the women's movement, the LGBT movement. All these different groups coming together, I think, can show that we can affect change and then reach out to the people that are scared and say we can rebuild our country and get back to work.
There's a lot of anger out there, not only towards the Republicans, but also towards the Democrats. What do we need to do differently, both in the union movement and also in the other movements for social change, and also what does Obama need to do differently going forward?
We need to have a common economic analysis about where the problem is in this country. And our belief is that corporate America have been let off the hook here, and we need to get our government and working people to join hands and hold corporate America accountable for getting America working again.
So the most important question, this is a fabulous base. It's a beautiful base. Where do we go from here? How do we keep up the momentum? How do we begin to build the movements that take us to the glorious place we want to be, aside from getting many more jobs?
We think we need to turn out in record numbers November 2nd.
One of them, it seems as if we mobilize around the elections and then demobilize after the election.
We're not doing that again. We're going to stay mobilized during after this election and make sure we deliver the change that we voted for.
We're going to hold you to that. And you're going to keep us together
in the streets.
Lots of more purple, yellow, and white shirts. Thank you for all your work.
Thank you.
And I'm with someone who is no stranger to large protest rallies and marches, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, president of the Rainbow Push Coalition. Reverend Jackson, why are we out here today? What is the purpose of this march?
Must be two major foci. One on job and job creation. The other on voter turnout November the 2nd. We've come too far to surrender the power of the vote now. What's at stake is the Congress, governors, senators, state legislators. The stakes are high. And those who marched here, as I did 47 years ago, we left here with faith and hope. Now we will leave here today with the vote and the will. That combination will bring about change. Now think about the abandoned homes in America today. Let's look at Detroit, 90,000 vacant lots and abandoned homes. Let that be a focus on apprenticeship training, where people who live there can become landscapers, brick masons and glazers, tear down boards and put up window panes, use plumbers and use roofers, put America back to work and end unnecessary wars that are taking away money, lives, and honor.
The main focus of the march seems to be to make sure that the Republican obstructionists don't continue to torpedo any progressive legislation.
I'm going to affirm my own power and spend my time reacting to negatives. That is to say, last election a month ago, Detroit, 600,000 eligible voters, 60,000 voted. There's nothing to stop us from voting but now to vote. If we use our strength and affirm our strength, we, in fact, will be all right come November 3rd.
But is it all about the Republicans? Is there something we need to do to push Obama further along the road?
Our direct action for jobs in big numbers and for justice and Reconstruction pushes in the president. I remember John Kennedy was not fond of the march in Washington. Matter of fact, Washington was under lockdown that day at the train station, the airport. But the march helped to make him a great president. Dr. King said to Lyndon Johnson, we need the right to vote. President Johnson said, I'm with you, Dr. King, but we can't make it happen. Between Selma and Montgomery in that march, between the deaths of Serena Goodman Cheney and that of Matt Gaetz, we bled enough, marched, that we made it happen. And so marches make great presidents great. So today we march to focus on reinvesting America and end unnecessary expensive wars.
March is a coalition. Can you describe the coalition that's behind this march?
Well, the beautiful part of this is real labor, multi-ethnic, multicultural coalition. This is America at its best.
Okay, thank you so much.
We are one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So it is written, so it must be. One nation,
one nation,
one nation,
one nation.
Where are my young people in the house today? Where are the young people at? I come here today not only representing young people of Los Angeles, California, but also representing young people from all across this nation. Many times we are the most forgotten population, the population most affected by failed public policies, the population damaged by institutions of incarceration. Unemployment hit us way before the recession hit this country. But we are also the population with great historical significance and a history full of young people standing up for what they believe is right and is just. From the walkouts in East Los Angeles demanding cultural and adequate education, to the walkouts and sit-ins in the South during the 60s demanding civil rights. Young people have been on the front lines of change in every major social movement of this country's history. I am fortunate that at the age of 23, I not only have a job and helping to green our planet, but I also have a lifelong career in social justice and social change. This person that you see today was almost lost to a life of incarceration. This person you see today could have been a mere statistical failure. This person you see today could have continued on a path of destruction. But this person you see today is set on a path like Malcolm X and Gandhi, a life of fighting for justice. I was one of the fortunate ones who found the chance to continue my education and belong to a community of peers seeking to make community transformation through a program called Youth Build, where the entire staff invested in helping us take ownership of our lives. Our governments need to invest in its people again and recommit to the investment to the young people of America. If I am eating, but my brother is starving, then I am starving as well. If I have a home, but my sister is homeless, then I am homeless as well. If I have total civil rights, but others around me don't even have human rights, then something is not right. If my gender is respected, but other genders are pushed to a life of seclusion, then something is not right. Until that something becomes right, we young people must stand and will continue to stand up, just like our history has proven that we have. Injustice somewhere is injustice everywhere. Oppression somewhere is oppression everywhere. Social justice and the reinvestment of people must not only happen somewhere, it must happen everywhere. I am Ellie Flores from Los Angeles, California, and I thank you for standing up with me today. But the real challenge will be for us to continue standing when you return home. Will you stand when you go back home?
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.